The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Pat Lowney as he talks to entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney and I'm glad you're here this morning. I'd like to remind you that Biz Talk is brought to you each weekend by the Fox City Score Chapter, and we're glad that we have everyone along. So this morning we have two guests. One is Shirley Melski from the Small Business Development Center at UW Oshkosh, and then Wendy Baum, from the COO from Commit Change. So welcome aboard, Shirley and Wendy.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Good to have you. So, Shirley, let's start out with you and tell us a little bit about yourself and the SBDC.
Sure. Thanks, Pat. The SBDC, located at the UW Oshkosh campus, College of Business, actually has a dedicated team of consultants who help any size company here in Wisconsin, but certainly up to 500 employees with any of their business planning or startup activity, management and strategic planning, financial and capital access, marketing and sales growth, and even business valuation if they're getting ready to sell. About a year or so ago, they recognized that many of the other states in the country had international trade centers and basically designed to help companies in their areas to help with international trade, growing the business, and then staying compliant and so forth. And so they brought me on board, and I'm setting the groundwork to go ahead and offer that service here in the Fox Valley area.
So how many years in the trade area do you have?
All right, Pat, you weren't supposed to ask that question, but over 25 years. I started my career with Chrysler Corporation in the Detroit area. And I spent over 10 years there, and then I moved to Wisconsin to work for Oshkosh Corporation and later worked for Bemis Company.
So you have a lot of wisdom.
I have certainly gone to the school of hard knocks and learned a lot of lessons, I'll say that. And I'm happy to share with others so that they don't have the same experiences.
So can you tell us a little bit about the SBDC and what the structure is of that and how you funded that kind of thing?
Sure. I think there's some confusion sometimes about the SBDC versus the SBA, and they are two separate entities. The SBA actually works in partnership with U.S. Congress, maybe some private entities and so forth, to fund the SBDC programs, and they're matched sometimes in kind and in cash. But our specific department here in Oshkosh has people with prior business experience, real estate, family businesses and so forth, that they bring that expertise to the table, and then they are able to help free of charge to any companies here in our area.
So you are part of UW Oshkosh, and you're on the campus of UW Oshkosh, right?
That's correct.
But there are other SBDCs in Wisconsin. I think there's one in Green Bay, right?
Yes, there is. Those are the closest ones here to our listening area, but they are spread throughout the state, and they're connected with the UW system.
Do you specialize? Does, say, the SBDC in Oshkosh specialize more in one type of business area than the one in Green Bay, or are you generalists for everybody?
I'd say yes and yes. There are some specialties on any of our individual consultants and what they bring to the table. Their background, it might be in business ownership, financial, banking, and so forth. But overall, we should be able to offer the same services. If we really do feel that someone else would be better served by an expert, we would refer that client to another organization. We do work well together throughout the state. And then I myself, being in international trade, am able to travel the state, and I'm a state resource.
The last couple of weeks on this show, I've been asking people to get a hold of you and talk about a survey that you've been a part of. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, great. Actually, this is an exciting time for Wisconsin. I was able to join as part of the Governor's Freight Advisory Committee. There's an intermodal subcommittee that was formed about a year ago. And one of the basics behind that project is really to attract a Class 1 railroad terminal here to Wisconsin. Formerly and currently, we're serviced through Chicago and Minneapolis area. What we've had extra growth, as we all well know, and we've also had some recent regulations that have changed the trucking industry and really put some pressures, additional pressures on capacity. So if we're able to locate a terminal, a box terminal here in the state, that's going to create some other options, some other shipping options for our shippers and consignees. And there's actually a survey that's on open right now. And if anyone would be willing to participate and show your volumes, we're looking to get those volumes inbound or outbound into Wisconsin or outbound. And we want to plot that data and show via heat maps where are the most optimal areas to locate such a terminal. So I appreciate the ability to speak on that because it's very important, I think, as particularly as we look at Foxconn coming into Southeast region and just adding, again, you know, more pressure to our current capacity.
So this terminal, right now, if I was going to ship something, I'd have to put it on a truck and send it to Chicago to make the connection onto the railroad. Is that correct? Or
that's basically correct, yes.
And this terminal would shorten up that truck shipping part to be able to hopefully ship it from here to wherever it was located in Wisconsin, perhaps
correct,
in northeast Wisconsin, and then move it on the railroad to wherever it is it's ultimately going to go.
That's correct. That gives you a choice then as a shipper. You could drop it onto a rail here in Wisconsin, or you could continue to truck down to Chicago directly or otherwise. But it gives options, which are always great for shippers and how they can take care of their customers.
I know something else you and I talked about was the Port of Green Bay and the Port of Milwaukee, too, that you're working on some things there that to raise awareness because there's availability and opportunity there that maybe a lot of people don't know much about.
Right. So the Port of Green Bay actually has some commercialization projects going on, and I know just in the last couple of weeks or so, they've really opened up that opportunity. I've got a client there who owns warehousing space, trucking, and rail spurs on that on the property, and they're willing and looking right now for customers that will use the Port of Green Bay for shipments. They are specifically looking for, I think, powdered type product, paper, and so forth. But there should be some good matches in the area to put a good win-win project together.
So if we have some small business people that are listening, this is where your expertise and wisdom comes in, is in doing this kind of thing, and they can contact you. How would they get a hold of you if they wanted to contact you?
Yep, we do have a number of different websites, but I'm going to give my email, and that's malskis@uwosh.edu. So that's uwosh.edu.
Okay, great. And Wendy, we're going to turn to you for a couple of minutes. You have a company called Commit Change. And do you want to tell us a little bit about your background and your company?
Yeah. So Commit Change is a software company. We create open source nonprofit fundraising technologies. And so basically what that means is that we allow nonprofits to accept donations securely on their own websites, and we have campaign and event management software and a lightweight CRM for donation management, and we allow categorizations of donors in ways that make it easier for nonprofits to do marketing and reach certain groups, segments of their donors. And in March, we actually released our software under an open source license, the Houdini Project. So now developers around the world can use our code base to build their own tools for nonprofits.
And you're the chief operations officer for Commit Change, right?
I am. I actually started out in client success and worked my way up. As people came in and left, I ended up taking over operations and actually moving our headquarters to Appleton.
You're a company that started out on the West Coast, and eventually you've moved to Appleton here. You want to tell us a little bit about why you did that?
So a few years ago, I lived in New Orleans, and I wasn't very happy with the weather, and I actually had surgery that I realized in New Orleans it's really expensive to live, so I realized that if I moved up north, I'd be happier because of the climate, but also my money would go further. So I moved here, and last year we actually had an acquisition offer that we decided not to take, and that led to some restructuring of our organization. And I decided when I was promoted to operations officer that we would have more of an impact if we moved everything to Appleton. So I've been in the process of stepping away from some of our West Coast service providers and hiring people in Appleton to take those roles. And we hired our new head developer and open source advocate from Appleton. So it's worked out pretty well for us. I fell in love with Appleton. I love the emphasis on local and organic and just the community in Appleton. So I felt like being able to make a difference here would be a really good move for Commit Change.
And your company is a great example of somebody that doesn't have to be in a certain geographical location. As a matter of fact, some of your partners and people in the company are around the country and around the world even. You are an international company at this point, right?
Yeah, our CEO is in Ireland, and we work with contractors around the world. Our headquarters is actually based out of Appleton Co-working, which is near the city center.
Great. So this is going to lead us to where we're going to go with the rest of the show, and it's an example of being able to show how small business is able to use some tools and resources that are available in the area to be able to market and deliver their products and services on an export basis around the world. And so maybe you're manufacturing and you're a service industry, but maybe you're manufacturing and you haven't thought about that a big part of the customer base is not in the United States, it's around the world. And Shirley, talking to you, I know you made a point of saying that 95% of the customer base for middle-class services and products is around the world. It's outside the United States, correct?
That's correct. And many of the other markets are actually growing. They either have a very youthful population or they can actually be considered to be growing market, whereas the United States is somewhat stagnant. I think actually last year we did actually move backwards. We had more deaths than births. But typically we're about even. We're not growing at any kind of rapid rate, and therefore you're limited in your customer base.
Okay. So we're going to continue the conversation. If you'd like to get in on it, you can give us a call at 281-1150 or 866-887-1150. You're listening to Biz Talk on WHBY.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
So you have a new addition to your family, or you found that house that you've fallen in love with, or you're getting engaged to the love of your life, or planning a retirement that changes your lifestyle. What moves you to Fox Communities Credit Union? Fox helps you make life happen with competitive loan rates, plus checking, savings, and mobile account access that works for you. Visit foxcu.org or one of 22 locations.
Fox Communities. Fox Communities Credit Union.
It's the case. camper that gives your family freedom to travel, or the new car that gives you peace of mind, the convenience of managing your money on your phone, or the security of growing your money locally. What moves you to Fox Communities Credit Union? Fox helps you make life happen with competitive loan rates, free and easy mobile services, plus checking and savings accounts that work for you. Visit foxcu.org or one of 22 locations.
Fox Communities.
At Alberts and Haling CPAs, your success is our success. We can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. We offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Alberts and Haling. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Welcome back. We're glad you joined us this morning. Our guest is Shirley Mielski from the SBDC in Oshkosh, and we're talking to Wendy Baum from Commit Change, and we're going to get back to them both in a few minutes, but first I want to talk a little bit about the Fox City SCORE chapter. Our chapter is located in the Fox City's Chamber office in downtown Appleton. We have offices in Appleton, Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, and we serve an 8-county area around those three cities. We have 50 volunteer mentors, each of them an expert in their field. We offer entrepreneurs no-cost and confidential mentoring. We have expertise in areas such as IT, social media, marketing, cash flow, accounting, strategic planning, workflow, HR, retail, best practices, and many other specialties. In order to register for a no-cost and confidential mentoring session, and or to learn more about the Fox City SCORE chapter, visit our website at foxcities.score.org. You can learn more about how the SCORE chapter can assist you with starting and or growing your business. When visiting our website at foxcities.score.org, you can complete an online application for a no-cost, confidential mentoring session. Simply complete the online form and submit it to SCORE. Within a few days, a SCORE mentor will be contacting you to set up a meeting. Remember, SCORE is no cost and offers experts who can offer you assistance in many different areas of your business that you may need assistance in. To get started, simply visit our website at foxcities.score.org. And to support small business people, the Fox City SCORE chapter is always looking for new mentors. We could use people right now with experience in agriculture, wellness, government contracts, and construction. If you have experience in these areas and would like to share that with others looking for help, we'd love to talk to you. Go to foxcities.score.org, click on the volunteer button at the top, and then fill out the short application. We'll get back to you to explain it a little bit more, and we'd love to have you. Again, our phone numbers are 281-1150 or 866-887-1150. You can give us a call if you'd like to talk to Shirley or Wendy. So, Wendy, let's get back and talk a little bit. You are, Commit Change is a client of the SBDC, right?
We are. A few months ago, I was looking actually for a referral for legal help for Commit Change, and I was looking through a list of SBA services, and the word export just sort of popped out because we've had a lot of questions about exporting up until this point. Especially with software, it's hard to know how that fits into the export world. It's not a physical product. It's something that you offer. We offer it as software as a service, so people sign up for an account, and then they can use all of the tools that we have. It's not something that you'd ship off as a CD. And we also have had a lot of people trying to sign up for Commit Change accounts from other countries. Even when we've made the forms for signing up a lot more restrictive, people will try to write in their country and say the city field of the form. So we realize that we have nonprofits that would be signing up in other countries that want tools like Commit Change. And we have actually, through the Houdini project, our open source project, we have a couple of groups in the EU that are actually using us and have increased their donations through using our software by putting it together themselves and hosting it themselves. So I really wanted to talk to somebody about what choices we had, and I actually ended up calling Green Bay before I called Oshkosh because I wasn't sure which office would serve Appleton, because there's not an Appleton office, but I ended up being referred to Shirley, and it was really amazing because she's really sort of held my hand through this whole process. She's talked to our head developer about some of the details of what we're doing, and we've actually applied for an export grant that will be a grant where we'll pay out the price of the things that we're building, or right now we're really looking at translation services, because in Canada you have to have French translation to everything, because that's one of their laws. So we'll pay a translator to put together all of the text for our website, and then we'll get reimbursed that money later. So that's been really helpful, but also just having somebody to ask questions, like when a few of the things that we're looking at are in open source, everybody always asks, how are you going to make money? You're giving your intellectual property away for free, but the truth is that we're the exports of our software, or the experts. So if somebody in the EU or Ireland wants to put together a site like Commit Change, then we can contract with them and help them put it together. We can help nonprofits that want to band together and hire developers. And so that was another question I had, is the sort of expertise and consultation and export, and it is. So just having Shirley there to answer questions and help has been invaluable, really.
Good, good. And Shirley, then, when Wendy got a hold of you, what did you do at the SBDC to start working with her and helping her with her questions?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, you know, Wendy's right on in that she's put a project together that will qualify for an export grant through the WEDC, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And that's basically what our first conversation was all about, is, hey, there's opportunity here, there's money here. Let's look at some of the things you're going to be doing anyway or would like to do, and how do we work them into a project? And as Wendy mentioned, you know, the grant can go toward things that I sometimes use the word simple, which is not fair to the IT people who have to do this, but, you know, redoing a website to include another language translation or a cultural update as well. And the same thing for sales and marketing brochures. So the expense to pay for an outsider to do those types of activities can go into a grant project.
Okay. So we're going to take another break here. You're listening to Biz Talk on WHBY, and we'll be back in a minute.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Albertson Hailing CPAs, we work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and help maximize profits. From asset protection to tax planning and more, we'll guide you through a financial plan. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Are you a business owner looking to purchase real estate or equipment? Did you know there's a program out there that any bank or credit union can offer to help you make it happen with as little as 10% down and long-term fixed rates under 5%? It's called the SBA 504 program, and it has been working for small businesses for over 35 years. So next time you are talking to your banker about real estate or equipment financing, make sure you ask them for the SBA 504 option, because knowing all of your options is good business. Learn more about the SBA 504 program at WBD.org. Do you believe your business can generate more in profits, be more efficient, and grow successfully? At Priora, our vision is applying financial literacy. Yours. You are searching for a method to truly understand and manage the cash flow of your company. You know you should have a better working knowledge of your cash flow. The Priora Business System is an excellent template for the motivated business owner to successfully achieve profitability and growth. Visit PrioraCFM.com for more information or call Tony at 920-450-2840.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney, and I'm here this morning with Shirley Melski from the SBDC and Wendy Baum from Commit Change. In the last segment, I shared with you the no-cost confidential mentoring offered by our experienced mentors at the Fox City Score Chapter. In support of entrepreneurs, the Fox City SCORE chapter offers educational seminars also. Our next one is going to be Accounting Basics for Small Business Accounting Software Programs. It will be held September 19th from 6 until 8 o'clock at the Fox City's Chamber Office in Appleton. This seminar will help business owners and their staff understand the basics of accounting, such as how to set up an accounting system, the logic behind many routine transactions, how they handle the accounting in the software programs, how basic accounting processes are handled in business transactions, such as sales, purchases, journal entries, bank reconciliations, financial statements, and more. This seminar will precede our next QuickBooks classes, which will be the first four Wednesday evenings in October at New Horizons. So if you'd like more information, we have it at our website, foxcities.score.org. If you're interested in one seminar, you can attend this one, the Accounting Basics, or you can just attend a QuickBooks seminar, or you can attend both. So the Accounting Basics is basically set up for people who might be a little bit weak in accounting and they need a little bit of help to help them understand the QuickBooks or Sage or any other accounting software that you're using. We also have the QuickBooks seminar, which is coming up, and that's available also on our foxcities.score.org website. Our first class starts October 3rd, and it begins at 6 p.m. and will continue for the next three Wednesdays. You can attend one, two, or all four classes. If you want to learn more about QuickBooks, these classes are what you're looking for. You will have your own computer to work on and individual help in all areas that you need it. These classes always fill up, so sign up early. For more information, go to our website, foxcities.score.org. And remember, if you'd like to join us in a conversation, our telephone numbers are 281-1150 or 866-887-1150. And let's get back to Shirley and Wendy. So, Shirley, there's a lot going on in exporting that is more than just packing up something and putting in a box and sending it UPS or mailing or whatever you're going to do, right?
Right, Pat. I'm glad you asked that because a lot of times people do think it's purely a manufactured part or a product, final good, that gets exported. But, in fact, really, you can have, and this is why Wendy's a great example. Her company, Commit Change, is, you know, technology. It's software, yet it is considered an export. Typically, transfer of knowledge is, in the eyes of the government, considered an export. Even an email, depending what's located or contained within that email, is considered an export, and people don't recognize that. And the point being here is that, you know, Wendy might have thought, oh, I'm not a manufactured product. I don't qualify for these state programs. But, in fact, she does.
What do the state programs help you cover as a client? What kinds of costs do they help you cover?
Yep. So they're very wide-ranging. We talked about the website and the sales and marketing updates to include cultural and language translations. They can include trade shows, the cost of getting your booth and products and things to typically a foreign market trade show, but you could convince us that if it's a U.S.-based trade show, if you have enough foreign buyers in attendance, it might qualify as well. So trade shows, market assessments, let me understand, you know, for example, how would my product do in Mexico? How would it do in Spain, in the U.K., and so forth? We can, you know, get product information from you to understand your commodity, and we take that to about 92 different countries in the world, and we can convert that to say, hey, there is a market here, or we could tell you you might want to look elsewhere. We can help you with partner searches. Those partners might be distributors, agents, customers, all of that, and then the expense behind making sure your contracts with any of those folks are to your satisfaction and mitigate your risk to the best that can happen. Tax opportunities. Companies can form an IC DISC, and that helps to reduce the tax on export revenue. That's an opportunity. Let's see, IP protection. If you need help, legal costs associated with a trademark or other IP protection, that would be typically covered.
So in the market assessment part, you help companies figure out, you know, where their they're most likely going to be able to have success?
You got it. For example, we just had the trade director in from Australia. The WDC has, again, 92 countries they have affiliation with. And when they are preparing for a trade venture, which are typically delegates of 6 to 8 or more Wisconsin companies travel at once, we bring the trade rep in. We get an idea of what that market looks like for businesses' commodity, and then we make that commitment to say, hey, yes, this business will travel, and on the other side of it, we're going to make sure we have anywhere from, you know, depending on the commodity, of course, but anywhere from 5 to, say, 15 appointments over a week of trade venture activity where those appointments are with qualified and vetted, again, agents or customers that they have a in alignment with what our business here in Wisconsin is looking for. Those trade ventures are heavily subsidized. They include cultural opportunities so that you don't just walk in to blindly to another country and not recognize some of their social norms. And also, if needed, there would be an interpreter involved, a driver, and so forth. So they're very heavily subsidized, and they take care of a lot of the details.
And you help also, I would assume, with the legal part of, you know, some of the things you have to have. If you're going to go into a country, one country might have some legal requirements that another country might not, and at least help make the client aware of those things that they have to think about before they move into that market.
Right. A pretty active conversation that I have, or pretty regular, revolves around either documentation to clear customs in another country, or even labeling. So somewhat regulatory in nature, any kind of certificates, that type of thing is very common. And again, it's no cost for us to research it, get back with you, and provide that feedback.
How often, or how do people find out about the export requirements? Does it happen by accident sometimes where they try and do it just themselves? They send a case of something someplace and get into some trouble with it? Or do you have people call you more frequently first time when they're really looking at, you know, doing exporting?
So there's certainly a little bit of both there. For example, on this Australia trip, I did have a client reach out to me and say, hey, I would be interested in that market, but I'm not going to do anything until I understand their documentation that's required. So we got into that in the last week and sent it to her, and she's, you know, she had a project to finish this week. She'll be looking at it next week, and we'll go from there. But she has everything she needs now to do the documentation. On the other hand, the same client had a product that was in Canada, but did have a repair need, and the product needed to be shipped back to the United States. It ended up to be stuck in customs because and most people wouldn't know this, but they could have sent it back under a Chapter 98 in the tariff classification, which allows for repairs to temporarily return here to be repaired and then reshipped back to the other market. So that was missed, right? And a simple phone call to say, hey, can I do anything different with this particular incident? We'll research it and we'll get back. And I think that's well worth someone's time to look at it.
So when you're working with a company that commit change, it has a service that they're selling, or software, something that isn't tangible property, does that change at all, that export process?
It may change. I recommend always that every company have a export compliance guideline. And it's about an 8 or 9 point list of items that I suggest they have, everything from a CEO-type vision and mission statement that says, yes, we're going to adhere to compliance, on through a process flow, and then on to record keeping and how to kind of self-audit themselves. And also, there are ways to check with the U.S. government and understand exactly what your documentation is showing you are shipping out of the United States. So it's good to check that at least on an annual basis through something called iTrack. And that's the import and the export you can get through the U.S. Census Bureau.
Do you run into people? I would imagine there's some people listening right now that are going, oh my, that's way too much. I don't want to get involved in that kind of thing. How do you reassure them that, you know, it's very workable?
Well, first of all, I can give them a bare bones framework, right? And I'll work with them to understand. We'll look at either ourselves or if we need to, we'll bring in a more in-depth expert to understand the actual risk with their product. In some cases, you know, the customs would say, you know, your commodity is relatively low risk. Others might say, because of an opportunity or a dual nature use opportunity of your product, we're going to go a little more in-depth and you want to, you know, really document and understand things like the parties that you're shipping to. Denied party screening is required no matter what commodity you're shipping, for example. But what you want to do is have a very good plan in place, check it reasonably regularly, quarterly to annually, and have a plan for correcting things if they do go wrong, which may include self-disclosure. If you don't have a good plan, it is, I've just got to say that you are running the risk of penalty and fines and shutting down your export opportunity.
So, Wendy, when you contacted Shirley, what was the process you went through? How did you make the connection?
So I was referred to Shirley, and we emailed back and forth a little bit and set up a time to talk. And I think that her head developer, Eric, was involved in that conversation, too. But we just talked through what commit change does. I explained like the Houdini project, and we talked about whether or not that would be a complication. And it's not because it's a separate entity. It's like a legal nonprofit that's being fiscally sponsored by the Software Freedom Conservancy. And we talked about the grant opportunities, the Export Tech class, and we pretty much just sort of made a plan. Then, because the grant application window had closed, we talked about setting up a time to meet with Monica. So when our schedules sort of coincided, I met with Monica and Shirley, and we talked about the application process. And then we actually had a little bit of a sideline because Ireland, there's a group in Ireland that gives out a social innovation grant, so my CEO has actually been talking to them about that. And Ireland was one of the markets that we were really looking into breaking into, so we've sort of pulled back on that a little bit and revised the plan that we have because we might end up creating basically an Irish commit change subsidiary, or we might work with another company that is going to just sort of take that project over and consult with them. So that's where the question about expertise as an export came in. So right now we're sort of revising the grant application, and then we're going to submit that, and then once that's approved, then we're going to start putting money towards the projects that we have. And then because we have to wait until the grant has been accepted to get the reimbursement for those charges, we're going to sort of start the process of the project once those grant applications have been submitted and accepted.
Okay. So you brought up Export Tech. Shirley, are you the person that would be able to talk about what Export Tech is?
Yep, I'll give a high-level summary of what Export Tech is. Export Tech has been going on in Wisconsin for a few years now, but it is probably one of the most sustainable programs in the nation, really doing well. Companies that complete Export Tech, within 6 months, we're seeing an average of $900,000 increase in export revenues. So again, it's a 3 month program, but one day each month for three consecutive months, two to three C-level, people from each company are participating in a hybrid, standard and customized program for export strategies. It's a non-compete, but, you are in a room with, 6 to 8 other companies. So you learn from their challenges and opportunities as well. But you basically walk out of that that program with a very clear global strategy of what markets, based on market assessment feedback, what markets you want to enter or expand in, and what other activities you need to do. For example, you know, the distributor piece, do you need to do a market search for a partner in that market to determine who you should contract with?
That's got to be really valuable.
It is indeed. As a matter of fact, most the last several governors export award winners have all participated in the Export Tech program. It also increases the grant, the annual grant that you're available to you by 250%.
Great. We have a call on the line. Tony, are you there? Tony?
Hey, good morning, Pat.
Hi, Tony.
A question for you.
Okay.
Am I on the air? Or?
Yes, you're on the air. I'm sorry.
Okay. I don't know if it was covered or not, but I was wondering, this is a fantastic show, a great topic, and your guests are doing a great job, but I was curious about a company you wanted to export to Europe or Canada or Australia, wherever. Can the SBDC help the company here who wants to export vet the customer? You always are unaware of who's really buying your product. Are you getting into a bad situation? Is there any way to vet those customers to ensure safety in the transaction?
Hey, Tony, this is Shirley. That's a great question, and I actually noted it that I'd missed speaking to that point. But there's something called an ICP, which is an international company profile that can be done and is regularly done for just that purpose to see if there are any red flags about potential partners, whether they're customers or agents or what have you. And that can be done through the WEDC or the U.S. Commercial Service.
Great. It's a great service to have because I know companies who just use customers in this country often get scammed or something. So internationally just presents a whole set of new risks.
Indeed.
Great program, ladies. Wonderful program.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for the call, Tony. Take care. And we're going to take one more break. You're listening to Biz Talk on WHBY. We'll be right back. Okay.
Manage your banking relationship. Don't be managed by it. Lenders will require a copy of your detailed business plan to evaluate the risks associated with making a loan to your business. Many companies have already benefited by using the Priora Business System to prepare their business plan and provide ongoing monitoring of their business cash flow. Priora Business provides you and your lender with the critical information needed to demonstrate your business will be able to repay the loan. Visit PrioraCFM.com or call Tony at 920-450-2840 for more information.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Alberts and Haling CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting from startup to sell-off, and more. We specialize in creating financial management plans for your business. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Alberts and Haling, personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Hi, this is Matt Wilcox. I've been helping businesses in this area for over 20 years as a business banker and now as a vice president with WBD, your business finance resource. WBD is a nonprofit company that partners with local lending institutions to offer the SBA 504 loan program. If you are looking to buy commercial real estate or equipment, want to lower your down payment and get a 20-year fixed rate under 5%, be sure to ask your banker to show you the 504 option. And don't worry, at WBD we speak SBA, so we will make it easy for you and your banker. For more information on the 504 program, visit WBD.org.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business. From contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
I'd like to thank our sponsors who help bring BizTalk to you each weekend. We couldn't do it without them. That would be Fox Communities Credit Union, Alberts and Haling CPAs, Legal Business Edge, WBD, Priora Cash Flow Management, and then Ken Dale Marketing, who keeps up our website, which is biztalkwithscore.com. You can go out and check previous shows, podcasts, things like that. And finally, the Business News, who has helped us out with a number of different things over the years, and we thank all of them. So, Shirley, before we go, if you could give your information for people who might want to get a hold of you, could you do that for us?
Sure. Best thing to do is to email malskys@uwosh.edu.
Okay. And, Wendy, could you do the same thing? What contact information if people are looking for fundraising technology for non-for-profits?
So if you're interested in Commit Change as a whole, you can go to commitchange.com. If you're interested in the Houdini Project because you're a developer, it's houdiniproject.org. Or if you just want to send me an email, you can email me at Wendy, W-E-N-D-Y, at commitchange.com.
And I'd encourage anybody to go out and check both websites. They're both full of a lot of things we didn't get to this morning. Well worth your time, and I'm sure if you have more questions, you can get a hold of both these ladies that way. So, Wendy, we'd like to wrap up the show each week with a biz tip from our guest. Do you have a biz tip?
I do. I really just suggest looking at local services and organizations that help small businesses, especially programs like SCORE and the SBA.
Great, great. And I just want to say you are, Wendy, as a SCORE mentor also, so you help out other small business people, and we appreciate the help, and thank you very much.
Thank you. I just really want to give back.
Yeah, good. We all do. And Shirley, you have a biz tip?
Well, my biz tip today will be just reach out. Give us a call, email, check the websites. You don't know if you don't ask the question, so don't assume things. Give us a chance. You haven't lost anything. Everything is complimentary, free, so there's no charge. Just give it a little bit of your time and get the right answers and get feedback. And, again, take a chance. Exporting is really the way to grow your business.
Great. And I'd like to wrap up with, something we talked about. You at the SBDC view yourself as being a client advocate, that you're out there representing the client that comes to you, Wendy's company comes to you, and that's the job, the work that you're really doing here. So that people, when they contact you, you're becoming the advocate in their arena for helping them with that export work.
That's right. Don't forget that I spent 25 years in your shoes, basically. I know what it's like to have that challenge to understand, what's going to be required in that other market. What do I need for documentation? How do I ship it there? What's the best shipping mode? Those types of things. How to problem solve if I do get a challenge that I didn't expect. So I've been there. If I can help you to be more successful more quickly, I'm very happy to do so.
And SCORE is very happy to partner with the SBDC, too. There's a lot of things that we do that complements each other, and really, really happy to do that. So I would like to thank both of you for coming in here this morning. This has been a great show, and I've been really excited, since we started putting this together about doing this, because there's so much here that I wasn't aware of, the export part of it and things that, is a little more non-traditional, at least the world that I grew up in, I worked in and things like that. So this has been very, very good, and I appreciate both of you taking the time to come in. I'd like to thank everybody who is listening and taking the time. I hope that this has been helpful to you, and hope you're back next week. We'll see you then. Have a good day.